Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. Watch, chop, retrofit.
So I wanted to start with a joke today, okay. If that's all right.
That's fine.
And it's not my joke. I can't take credit for it, but it is good. How does a jazz musician get $1 million?
How does a jazz musician get $1 million?
How?
Easy. It starts with $2 million. But this is not a personal finance podcast. Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast that concedes that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is...
Keechus of Travrith.
Keechus of Travrith?
Keechus of Travrith.
Keechus of Travrith. Okay. Oh, I get it. Like Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, I got it. And I'm joined, as always, here in the shop by my co-host and co-producer, the Traveling Executioner.
Oh, you got to be kidding me, man.
A.K.A. Lil Thanos.
You told me not to use that.
I know, but that's why. That's why. We do not have any guests today, so it'll just be the two of us. But for the description of the show, the tagline at the top says Watch, Chop, Retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes they're classic films with iconic actors, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts. Quick disclaimer, we're not actually in favor of the remake, reboot, sequel-dependent culture that currently permeates Hollywood. This is more of an exercise in satire and irony. We try to be funny.
And sometimes we succeed.
All right. So with that, we will go into our first segment, which is movie news. This is where each week, Sean and I take a deep dive into the Hollywood news cycle and bring stories that we think that our listeners would find interesting here to the show. And at the beginning of movie news, we like to do rest in peace, an RIP. And the first one is an actress, an American actress, who died at the age of 94. Her name is Rosalyn Alexander. She's in movies like The Naked Face, Rent-A-Cop, and Child's Play. She was also a leading lady of the Chicago stages. In 1980, she was awarded the prestigious Joseph Jefferson Award for actress in a principal role in a play for the play Wings. The play was called Wings,
okay.
Not the TV show. And then also, a man by the name of Carmine Caridi. Carmine Caridi was 85 years old, and he was an American television and film actor. He played in Godfather Part 2 and 3. He was also in Bugsy, so maybe a little bit typecast into some like mafia roles.
Gangster roles, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he was also in Summer Rental with John Candy.
Okay.
So he broke type there. He died of pneumonia at the age of 85.
Oh, that's too bad.
He appeared in a wide variety of roles over the past 30 years, but really the thing that stood out to me was that in 2004, he became the first person to be expelled from the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Holy cow, what do you have to do to get expelled from it?
Well, it's funny you ask, because I can tell you. On January 13th, 2004, the Academy announced that it had identified a copy of the film Something's Gotta Give, circulating illegally on the internet, and also as carrying markings identifying it as coming from a video sent to Caridi in his role as an Oscar voter. All in all, they found that he had sent over 60 screeners to a man in Hollywood, Illinois, named Russell Sprague. So the FBI charges them both with criminal copyright infringement. Now, eventually, Caridi was cleared of wrongdoing. He said he thought the guy was just a movie buff. But the Academy announced on February 3rd, 2004, that it was expelling Caridi for violating his agreement to safeguard their screeners, making him the first Academy member to be expelled.
Wow.
Yeah, so... moral of that story, don't share your screeners. All right, next up, Taika Waititi, the director of Thor Ragnarok, some other really cool New Zealand films. He's got a close working relationship with the Flight of the Conchords guys. He is making a film adaptation of Akira. So I'm not super familiar with Akira. Do you know?
Akira is one of those iconic animes from the early to mid-80s, and it even has one of the more memed anime sequences or illustrations, and it's the, and I've even seen it with Bart Simpson doing it on a bicycle.
Oh, really?
It's like a motorcycle move where he's like doing a slide stop, uh-huh. And it's very iconic. It's T-shirts have been produced with it, but it's been memed to hell and back, so... I'm really curious if that's going to be in the film because it's so iconic.
Interesting. So that's going to be released in summer of 2021. And we got this from Deadline. The author of the article is Anthony D'Alessandro. And let's see here. Warner Brothers has unveiled that the Warner Brothers event film that was hanging around May 14th, 2021, is now moving to May 21st, 2021, and will be Taika Waititi's feature take on the famed cult manga Akira. So that's interesting. I'll definitely check that out. I'm a fan of his work. And most of his stuff is funny. So I'm wondering if he's going to put kind of a comedic slant on that.
I don't see how, because Akira has one of those nuclear apocalypse kind of endings. So I don't see how it would be funny.
Gotcha. All right. Now, in follow-up news...
Something that is funny.
Filmmaker and comic book artist?
A filmmaker.
Filmmaker Todd McFarlane reveals that his new Spawn film has hit a snag. This is from Comic Book Review. Spawn creator Todd McFarlane has opened up about the status of the character's reboot film, which he is set to write and direct. According to McFarlane, the hurdle currently standing in the film's way is getting all concerned parties to agree on a single script. Moreover, the longtime comic book writer slash artist revealed how he would react if asked to compromise too much of his vision. Yep. About the same spot, McFarlane told comicbook.com, in regard to where the film's currently in the development process. The money's sitting on the sidelines, ready to go. I just need to get everyone that wants to put in money to shake their hands to the same script. So good luck with that. And I wonder, is he still planning on starring Jamie Foxx?
I was about to say, at this point, Foxx will be like, what, 55, 56 when this comes out?
Yeah, that's crazy. Next up, Cannes winner, Parasite, a Korean film called Parasite. And the headline says, Parasite feasts on Korean box office, stomping competition, and headed to a possible 20 million bao. It's also the first Korean film to ever scoop the top prize at Cannes. And that headline comes to us from Deadline.com. I guess that will wrap us up on movie news for this week, unless there was anything else you wanted to add.
No, I think we're good.
Okay. And so about this time, we usually get a phone call. Oh, there it is. It must be the Department of Corrections Department with Chief Corrections Officer Dana.
Hello. I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to consider showing Sean's double feature at the prison on film night. I don't want anybody plotting against anyone else and getting all riled up. Pam's original fiancé on The Office was named Roy Anderson. The Kelly Reichert pioneer film set in 1845 is Meek's Cutoff. Incidentally, the word nun is derived from the Latin word nona, which is the feminine version of the Latin word for monk, which is nonus. But I doubt that will keep Travis from making his they don't get none joke in the future, though. Hashtag the more you know. See y'all next week.
All right. Thank you, Dana. It seems that after all of these years in close proximity, you've learned to know me pretty well. So thank you for all of your hard work. And with that, we are going to go into the theme of the episode. In celebration of his upcoming 78th birthday on June 2nd, the films of Stacy Keach. What do we think about Stacy Keach?
Well, you know, I like Stacy Keach.
Yeah.
He's a diverse actor.
I have more of an appreciation for him now, having seen some of his earlier stuff.
Yeah.
Prior to this, I was mostly just familiar with the Sergeant Stadenko character from Cheech and Chong. But he was born on June 2nd in Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah.
And he's an American actor, highly prolific. He's played mainly dramatic roles throughout his career, often in law enforcement or as a private detective, which we'll talk about a little bit. He comes from an acting family.
Well, you mentioned he was born in Georgia. I hear Stacy's mom's really got it going on.
I love it.
I hear she's a real Georgia Keach.
Oh, boom.
The Punisher, too.
Yes, I love it. So like I said, he comes from an acting family. He's the son of Stacy Keach Sr., an actor who started as a community college drama teacher and then became the director of the Pasadena Playhouse. And he's also, Stacy Keach Jr. is also the older brother of actor James Keach. And he is the brother-in-law or ex-brother-in-law of actress Jane Seymour.
Okay.
Because his brother James was her fourth husband.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. He graduated from Van Nuys High School in June 1959, studied drama.
You mean Van Nuys?
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
N-U-Y-S?
Van Nuys.
Van Nuys, okay. I was going to say Van Nuys.
you can.
Studied drama at University of California, Berkeley, Yale, and the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art. He acted in a number of plays at the Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. He won an Obie Award in 1967 for his performance in the title role of McBird, which is also the alternate name for the McChicken sandwich. he performed the role of the King of Siam in a touring rendition of The King and I. And one of the more noticeable physical attributes is that he was born with a cleft palate. He had it repaired, and the scar is on his lip underneath the right nostril, and he usually hides that scar with his trademark mustache.
His luxurious mustache.
All right, so is that enough background bio on Stacey Keach?
Sure.
Okay, so next up, we're going to go into our next segment, which is going to be the Midnight Double Feature. And in this segment, Sean and I will go across the panel and talk about at least two films in the subject at hand, being the films of Stacey Keach, that are related to each other, how they're related to each other, and why they would warrant being shown back-to-back in a public forum. So would you like to go first with yours?
I'll be glad to go first. Okay. These are two odd films that I think that are worth noting if you've never heard of them or seen them. Both of them are dramedies.
Okay.
Drama comedies. And in both cases, Stacey Keach is, in one, he's kind of a scoundrel, and the other one, he's something completely different. So starting off, 1970s, The Traveling Executioner.
Okay.
Aforementioned.
In your nickname.
Nickname. And I was going to give you the Traveling Executioner. It was directed by Jack Smite.
Okay.
And it stars Stacey Keach, Mariana Hill, Bud Cort.
And he literally travels around the
this
South?
This is set in 1918. He's a guy who plays Jonas Candide. He travels around the South from prison to prison and performs electrocutions on prisoners at $100 a head.
Okay.
And he really likes his job, and he does very well until he runs into his first female execution.
Oh.
And things kind of get sideways. And let's just say the shoe ends up on the other foot.
So his last name sounds like a reference to Voltaire.
Yeah.
The classic work by him. Mm-hmm. Are there any references to that?
Not really.
Okay. Any mention of like the best of all possible worlds?
I didn't catch any of that. Like I said, it's kind of a dramedy. Everything's treated very lighthearted, which seems kind of inappropriate considering we're talking about it's almost like a traveling snake oil salesman. He had like a little painted up trailer that the chair was in, and he would go prison
to town
prison.
To town, peddling his wares.
Yeah, exactly. So it's an odd film and an odd subject matter. And I believe it's based loosely on a true story. I'm pretty sure either The Dollop or Last Podcast on the Left covered the actual traveling executioner.
Interesting.
So I'm pairing that with 1980's The Ninth Configuration. This was based on the novel by William Peter Blatty and directed by William Peter Blatty. And it stars Stacey Keach, Scott Wilson, who we talked about as being Herschel from The Walking Dead, who also makes an appearance later on in the episode. It is about a former Marine who arrives at a mental asylum that's housed in a remote castle in the Pacific Northwest.
What?
Okay, it's an abandoned castle. They've got these Vietnam veterans who have flipped their lids and gone crazy, and they've got them in this asylum to try to rehabilitate them.
Interesting.
And it's very silly.
Okay.
And it's very madcap. Like, one of them's a playwright, director, and he's wanting to put on a play. There's another guy who's just completely lost his marbles, and it's really over the top. And Keach's character arrives as the psychiatrist. And he has he was in Vietnam. He's come back. His brother died in Vietnam, and his brother was known as to be a real killer, a psychotic killer. Well, it's revealed later on, and then the film makes a turn, a very negative turn halfway through, that Stacey Keach is the psychotic killer from Vietnam.
Oh.
And the bumbling physician who is kind of sharing an office with him is his actual brother.
So his brother didn't die.
Right. His actual brother knew what was going on, that his brother had a mental break, and they brought him in to this facility as kind of some sort of mental treatment to rehabilitate him. It's weird. It's weird, and it's a strange juxtaposition of comedy and really like human drama in a horrific kind of way. So really strange films that kind of stand on their own as just being unique, in my opinion. And it's neat to see, like you said, neat to see Keach in some of these early roles.
Gotcha.
He's fit and trim.
Yeah.
He was a fit and trim guy for much of his early career.
Well, even in one of the ones that we're talking about today, he was in his he was supposed to be over the hill, but he was still in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my midnight double feature is a little bit more complicated because I'm going to be talking about Mike Hammer. The hammer is his penis. Actually, he's a fictional character created by American author Mickey Spillane, who incidentally died in Murrells Inlet, South Carolina.
Oh.
That's where he lived when he died. In the 1947 book, I, the Jury, Hammer is a no-holds-barred private investigator who carries a Colt 45 in a shoulder harness under his left arm. His love for his secretary, Velda, is outweighed only by his willingness to kill a killer. Hammer's best friend is Pat Chambers, captain of homicide in NYPD. Hammer was a World War II Army veteran who spent 2 years fighting jungle warfare in the Pacific Theater against Japan. Now, they made movies out of this and serials in the 1950s, but in 1984, they made a television show for CBS called Mickey Spillane's Mike Hammer.
I remember it well.
Really? With Stacy Keach in the title role. The series consisted of 51 episodes, 46 one-hour episodes, and a two-part pilot episode called More Than a Murder, which was also released as a standalone made-for-TV film, and three TV movies, Murder Me, Murder You, The Return of Mickey Spillane's Mike Hammer, and Mike Hammer, Murder Takes All. So, the TV movies, Murder Me, Murder You, is from 1983. Stacy Keach played Hammer in this TV pilot for the TV series that ran in the 1980s. This update featured a traitor to the U.S. and a daughter that Hammer didn't know about. More Than a Murder from 1984, Stacy Keach again played Hammer as a high-stakes poker game is robbed by police captain Pat Chambers. No, as a high-stakes poker game is robbed and police captain Pat Chambers intervenes as the thieves make their getaway. Then The Return of Mickey Spillane's Mike Hammer is from 1986. A young girl is kidnapped, and there is an attempt on the daughter of a well-known actress. The kidnapper then turns up dead. Hammer is hired to protect the girl and travels to Los Angeles, where she is then kidnapped. Okay? Then finally, in 1989, Mike Hammer, Murder Takes All. Keach reprises his role of Hammer, co-starring Linda Carter, Michelle Phillips, and the pre-stardom Jim Carrey.
Wow.
Mike is asked by a Las Vegas entertainer to come to Vegas. Mike refuses. He's then knocked out and dropped, literally, into Las Vegas. He's led to believe that the entertainer had him shanghaied, which the entertainer denies. Later, the entertainer is blown up, literally, and someone has planted evidence that points to Mike. Mike then sets out to try and clear his name, but everyone he goes to get information from is killed, and he is again the suspect. Can Mike find someone who can clear his name, and can he keep that person alive long enough to do so? So we've got four made-for-TV Mike Hammer movies starring Mickey Spillane, and I really think that you could, if you just wanted to limit it to two, you could pick any two of them and watch them back-to-back. I don't think there's enough continuity from one movie to the next for it to matter what order or which ones you chose.
I'm surprised you didn't mention the fifth and final Mike Hammer movie as an option.
What is that?
It's the one where Mike Hammer like flips his lid and starts shooting all the people in the streets. The name of it is Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him.
I love it. So I was thinking, I know we don't usually recast the double features,
right.
But for Mike Hammer today, I think Nick Offerman.
Offerman would be just a slam dunk.
Who also played Axe Cop, or does the voice of Axe Cop Cartoon Network. So that's going to be my midnight double feature. What do you think?
I love it.
So that will wrap us up on that segment, and it will get us into our first feature segment, which is the recast. This is where we take a film from the catalog of Stacy Keach And we talk about how we would hypothetically recast a few of the main roles in the movie. The first one that we're going to do has a lot of roles. We definitely couldn't get to all of them. It's called The New Centurions from 1972. And it was directed by Richard Fleischer, who's a real heavy hitter. He directed Soylent Green. He directed 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, The Vikings, and one of Sean's favorites, Red Sonja. So in The New Centurions, an idealistic rookie cop joins the LAPD to make ends meet while finishing law school, and he is indoctrinated by a seasoned veteran. As time goes on, he loses his ambitions and family as police work becomes his entire life. Does that sound about right?
That's it, man. I really liked this movie.
I liked it a lot, too.
There was one part where they went undercover to get some males soliciting one another at the lakeside that I thought was, by today's standards, is somewhat offensive.
Right.
But outside of that, I really liked this as a very day in the life, week in the life, even though it took place over a long span of time, but it was very much in the trenches with cops. I thought it was really cool.
And comparing and contrasting the ideals and the operations of younger cops and older cops.
Right, and you get to see Stacy Keach in both of those roles throughout the film.
Yeah. So first up, we've got the older cop, played by George C. Scott. His name is Andy Kilvinsky. So George C. Scott obviously needs no introduction. He was in Patton, Dr. Strangelove, and also in The Hustler.
He was 45
at the time,
and he looked like, and he was playing a retiree.
Yeah,
and he looked the part of a retiree.
Yeah, he always kind of looked old.
Yeah.
Who do you want to recast as Andy Kilvinsky?
Oh, we're just gonna jump right in.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. I hope you like my recast. You might not like them, but
you mentioned that you have themes.
You might not like my recast, but to Keach his own.
To Keach his own. So I think that since Mr. Marin won't do it anymore, that Tommy Chong needs to team up with Stacy Keach, and they could tour as Keach and Chong.
Nice. The puns, they are flying. Okay. There is a very clear theme in this one.
Okay.
All right. So, as you said, Kovinsky, George C. Scott, he was 45 at the time, but I said he looked older, so I'm going with somebody who's a bit older. He's actually 54.
Okay.
And he was in Here Comes the Boom. He was in the very bad movie Pixels.
Oh.
He was in Hotel Transylvania. He was in Grown Ups. But he was also in Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Okay.
It's Kevin James.
Kevin James. He's 54?
He's 54.
Wow.
And he looks a lot like George C. Scott in this film.
Interesting. Okay. For a minute there, I could have swore you were going to say Adam Sandler.
Oh, no.
Because you said Pixels and Grown Ups.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
My actor is 44 now. I think you're right, though. 54 is a little bit more accurate to the
age.
Start
talking about retirement.
A cop would be retiring.
Yep.
This actor was in Gladiator. He was also in Walk the Line. He was in Signs. And he's in the upcoming standalone Joker. His name's Joaquin Phoenix.
Very nice.
Joaquin Phoenix has that kind of unhinged craziness that I think would lend itself to this role. In this particular visual aid, he's looking very George C. Scotty.
How old is Phoenix now?
He is 44.
Okay.
Yeah, 44. All right, next up, we've got the man of the hour. Stacy Keach was 31 at the time, playing Roy Feller. He was a real good feller. What else do we need to say about the role?
Well, like we said, we get to see him early in his career. He's married, and as you alluded to, through his dedication to his job, his marriage suffers.
Mm-hmm.
And you see him go from being a pretty fresh, he wasn't really a rookie, but a fresh young cop to a very seasoned veteran.
And
his attitude and pessimism and his regrets really kind of take root.
And I think at the beginning I said that he was a aspiring law student, and he lost that ambition as well.
Right.
And I think that after I watched this, my review said that the moral of the story is to never put work before family.
Right.
All right, so Roy Feller, 31. Go ahead and give us yours.
All right, so my actor is going to be 32 this year, at the end of the year. He was in the film Unbroken. He was in Chronicle.
Okay.
He was in the 2013 Carrie, but he is concurrently be seen on the TV show SWAT His name is Alex Russell.
Alex Russell. Okay. Alex Russell and Kevin James. I'm trying, but I'm reaching here. My Roy Feller is also 31 now. The first thing people saw him in was the movie Titanic, where he played Little Irish Boy. He was also in a movie that we mentioned a couple episodes ago called Dreamcatcher. He's in Perks of Being a Wallflower. He's also in Rocket Science. His name is Rhys Thompson. Rhys Thompson. And I also have a picture of him as the little boy in Titanic. Rhys Thompson is going to be my Roy Feller.
Nice.
All right. Next, we've got the role of Dorothy Feller, his wife, for now, played by Jane Alexander, who was 32 at the time. She was in Kramer versus Kramer, which we've talked about here on the show. I think on the divorce movies episode. She's in the Cider House Rules. She's later in her career, she's in The Ring, and she's also in The Great White Hope. She plays Dorothy Feller. And who do you think should play her in this unnecessary remake?
All right, my actress is 34 years old, and she's been mostly in television. She got her start in the TV series Reality Check. She was in Body of Proof. She was on the short-lived Jim Gaffigan Show, Law and Order Special Victims Unit. But she can currently be seen on the TV show Blue Bloods.
Okay.
In the role of Abigail Baker. Her name is Abigail Hawk.
They all play cops. I got it. I figured it out.
You got it. Yay.
So my actress is 31 now. She was on SNL. She's also in a TV show or a movie that I haven't heard of called Odd Mom Out. She was in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. She dated Fred Armisen, which seems like there's a pretty big age gap there.
Okay.
It's Chris Elliott's daughter, Abby Elliott.
Love Abby Elliott.
She's great. But yeah, how much older do you think Fred Armisen is than Abby Elliott?
I don't know, but oh, by the way, today is Chris Elliott's birthday.
Oh, nice. Yep. Happy birthday, Chris Elliott. That's all of our recasts. Let's talk about some of the other people who are in this movie, because it was a real star-studded affair.
Well, you've got... what's the actor's name who was in Ghostbusters? This Man Has No Dick.
Oh man, he's also Mr. Rooney in.
Wrong. You're thinking he was the asshole in Real Genius.
Oh, okay.
He's the mean
he's
professor.
Not, he's not Principal Rooney in.
No, you're thinking of Dana. What's his name?
Yeah.
But Scott Wilson is in this film.
Okay.
Herschel from Walking Dead. He's in this. Rosalind Cash. Is in this, which
is really good.
Yep.
But going into it, I was confused. I was expecting to see Rosanna Cash,
yes,
who's completely different, even in terms of ethnicity.
And you have a very young Eric Estrada.
Yeah, that's true. Pre-Chips?
Pre-Chips.
So this might have actually gave him a springboard into that role.
I think so. Chips was like late 70s. Yeah, he had time to get some ground under it, but yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I think that is saying enough about this movie, other than the fact that I think it's a recommend.
It's a recommend. It's an interesting flick. I was really surprised, and I enjoyed it.
And you said, and I think I would agree with you, that it does meander a little bit.
Yeah.
But other than that...
But so does life.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I guess with that, we are going to head into intermission, but not before we say...
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves some quiches and cream.
And a mustache.
All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis, and I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under-reviewed.
Like make it a whole pyramid scheme, get the people under them to do it, and multiply
a Podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. you folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show, don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our 2019 movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
And we are back. Thank you for bearing with us during the intermission. And when we come back from intermission, we like to do a beer check-in. And we've got one that's kind of on theme today. if you knew that the next movie we're going to talk about deals with boxing. So the timing of that didn't work out perfectly, but today we're going to be trying a Black Eye PA. And it's not from Pennsylvania. It is from right here in Florence, South Carolina, from Seminar Brewing. That's seminarbrewing.com. And what were you saying that you wanted to name this?
I want to name it Ales from the Crypt.
Okay. Scary Stories to Ale in the Dark.
Something like that.
And it's pouring. It's got a little head on it.
Very nice. Yeah, black IPAs are a thing. And
also called a Cascadian Dark.
Cascadian
IPA.
Dark Ale, yeah. It's an IPA by character, but it also has a few roasty notes imparted from the black grains or dark malts.
And a much, much darker color.
And of course, the color, it's a opaque black pour.
Like motor oil. It tastes good, though. It tastes really good.
It's really nice.
It turned out well.
One of our brewers did a fine job on this one.
All right, so while we enjoy that, we're going to get into our 2019 movie marathon. And this is where Sean and I and whoever else would like to participate, we try to watch as many movies as we can throughout the calendar year, the goal being at least one per day. And we check those in on Twitter with the hashtag 2019 Movie Marathon, at least until the end of December, where it will switch to the 2020 Movie Marathon. And I've got a vision that that's going to be a good year. It is the 151st day of the year. Sean, how far ahead are you?
176.
176. So you're over halfway, right? No, not quite, but you're getting there.
Getting close.
All right, so the first one that I will mention today is going to be a movie we were just talking about during intermission. It's number 146 for me. Oh, by the way, I'm on 151. I'm right to the day. And this is called Booksmart. From 2019. It is the directorial debut of Olivia Wilde, who's frequently shopped and chopped on here. It says, I can't say enough about how fucking hilarious this movie is. Beanie Feldstein and Caitlin Dever kill it. Also, Billy Lord is great.
Billy Lord was fantastic.
The wild card Gigi. We were saying that it is kind of a little bit derivative of Superbad.
I'd say more than a little bit.
And it's kind of like a female version of Superbad.
Female, nerdy version.
Right. They flip the academia aspect of it. Because in Superbad, the two main characters were kind of slackers. Whereas in this, they're overachieving nerdy girls, like you said. And you watched this as well, right?
I did.
And I was mentioning that my lovely wife, Michelle, and I watched this together, and it's rare that we both equally like a film, but this was one of those exceptions. It was just exceptional. We were rolling on the floor laughing.
It was delightful. Like I said, all the derivative stuff aside, it's just a damn fun film. The actresses are great, and I don't know. It's a good movie. Go watch it.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'm going to start out, since we're talking about Stacy Keach films, there's one movie that didn't quite fit into my double feature, and it's from 1982. It's called Butterfly.
Butterfly.
And this film...
Did it have an effect on you?
Yeah. This film, in several ways. This film picked up 10 Razzie nominations.
10?
10.
How many did it win?
One for Ed McMahon.
That's great.
Yes.
And one for Pia Zadora.
Pia Zadora. Nice.
Pia Zadora stars in this with Stacy Keach. This also stars a, as I said in my review, a pickled Ed McMahon and Orson Welles.
Yeah.
Orson Welles is...
Wasn't Ed McMahon pretty much always drunk?
Look, this film is set in the late 19-teens, early 1920s.
Okay.
Let me give you a quick rundown of this. Stacy Keach plays a man whose wife left him 10 years ago, and he is the caretaker slash guardian of a silver mine owned by the rich silver mine owner, who you later find out in the film is played by Ed McMahon.
Okay.
Ed McMahon looks like he walked right onto the set from the Johnny Carson
yes.
Tonight Show set. He's wearing a double-breasted blue blazer
uh-huh.
with a white Oxford cloth shirt unbuttoned halfway down his chest, and he's obviously drunk. Orson Welles plays the town judge in this,
okay.
and he is obviously drunk. Pia Zadora's husband at the time was named Meshulam Riklis. He's an Israeli, wealthy Israeli guy.
Real quick question. Pia Zadora, didn't she later go on to be a filmmaker in her own right?
I don't know about
I might be thinking of the wrong person.
Anyway, he produced this film.
Okay.
So you kind of see where we're going with this.
Gotcha.
Besides the Razzie win, Pia Zadora also won the Golden Globe for Best Newcomer. For this movie.
What?
Okay, backstory. The week before the Golden Globes, her husband, Meshulam Riklis, took all of the foreign press voters to Las Vegas to see Pia perform and paid for the whole trip.
Gotcha.
So essentially,
he
bought her award. This movie is pretty bad. You do get to see some nudie Pia Zadora action.
Okay.
Oh, I guess I should also mention Pia Zadora is supposed to be Stacy Keach's daughter, and she's coming on to him the whole time because he didn't know her, and she's like, I'm your daughter. And she's still kind of flirting with him and
That's
stuff.
Weird.
There's a reason. And anyway, treat yourself. Watch this movie sometime.
Cheat yourself. Oh, sorry, keach yourself.
Keach yourself.
All right. My next one is going to be number 147. I finally got around to watching Captain Marvel. I enjoyed it, and the only complaint I have is that I wish I would have watched it before watching Endgame, because there's a lot of backstory that they allude to in Endgame that I wasn't aware of. Female empowerment superhero movie that could be just what we need right now. The CG age regression on Nick Fury was a little bit distracting, because it's supposed to be set in 1995, and apparently... to the people who were designing this CG, 1995 Samuel L. Jackson was just more stout. They just made him look kind of bigger.
Well, as a friend of the show, Kim, pointed out mm-hmm. to us, you can make a man look younger in the face, but old man runs like an old man. And you got the scenes where he's running yep. through those corridors.
Yep.
He looks like I do when he runs.
So, yeah, that's my review of Captain Marvel.
Cool,
What's
man.
Your next one?
I'm going to pick up on one that your boy Marco, recommended to me a while back, and I finally got around to watching it. It's from 2018. It's called The Clove Hitch Killer.
Okay.
No relation to Cloverfield or any of that business. Dylan McDermott plays an ultra-creepy, repressed serial killer with a seemingly perfect Christian family.
Now, isn't a clove hitch like a trailer hitch?
I don't know.
Like with multiples?
Is that multiples?
Yeah.
It's the town.
Okay.
It's the town. There have been killings that have happened. It's really the son's the main character, and he's just a squeaky clean Boy Scout, literally Boy Scout.
Okay.
And through his relationship with this girl who's kind of an outcast, they kind of piece together that dad's the killer, and it just plays itself out from there. Pretty cool. It's creepy.
So a clove hitch is a type of knot.
Oh, well then, that that plays into the story very well. Glad you picked up on that, because he's into bondage photography. He's a Boy Scout leader. He shows them how to tie knots, so that's perfect.
Next up for me, the last one that I will mention is the most recent movie I've seen, number 151. It's called Captive State from 2019, starring John Goodman. I wanted to watch this back in March. In fact, this was the movie that I wanted to go see on my birthday, but it got mixed reviews and had a pretty short run in the theaters, and they actually stopped running it at our local theater like the day before my birthday or something like that, so I missed out. But it turns out that it was just okay. The special effects are all right. I should mention that this isn't a spoiler because you find this out in the opening scene. It's about an alien invasion and how that happens and how the planet is taken over, and then it flashes forward 8 years.
Okay.
And you get to see how much things have changed in those 8 years, or 7 years perhaps. 9 years. So, yeah, I remember McJunkin went to see it in the theaters, and he was like, it was meh. It was okay. And having watched the whole thing, I liked it a little bit more than that, but it's not a five-star movie for me.
Is it a recommend?
I'd say it's a recommend if you like sci-fi
and
kind of dystopian scenarios.
Okay.
John Goodman is very menacing in it, which is interesting to see from him. But yeah, that's my review of Captive State.
I dig it. I'm going to check in my most recent watch. It's from 2019, and it's from A24, one of our
love them
favorite production houses. It's called The Hole in the Ground.
The Hole in the Ground.
The Hole in the Ground. It's an Irish/Finnish film set in Ireland. It's one of those that's funded by the Film Commission for Ireland Films, etc.
Was it hard to finish?
No, not at all. Atmosphere, mood, sound, and music all contribute to this creepy tale. It's about a single mom and her boy. They've just recently moved to this pastoral-type town, and it starts out with a weird episode where they almost hit one of the townsfolk, this dementia-laden woman who's kind of muttering to herself, and the son runs away, like, from the backyard. There's, like, about a pasture between them and the forest. And mom has to go look for him in the forest and discovers this giant, literal hole in the ground.
Okay.
And, I mean, when I say giant, I mean 100 yards across, just this big, giant hole.
Okay.
Through the movie, the son disappears for a brief period of time. The son comes back. Mom starts thinking that, this isn't right. It's not my son.
Oh,
something's changed. You're not my son. But at the same time, you're wondering, because she's got this scar on her head from an auto accident, which we assume is when the husband died.
Okay. You wonder if she's right in the head.
Well, she's had to go to the doctor to get some sleeping pills. So this is creepy as fuck. It's not a lot of jump scares, which is my cup of tea.
Yeah.
It's definitely the atmospheric creepiness of it. And, but however, as I said in my review, there are two gaping plot holes in The Hole in the Ground.
Gotcha. Which you will not reveal now.
I will not reveal.
Be spoilers.
But it's a recommend.
Okay.
And you can catch it on Amazon Prime.
Quick correction. A clove hitch is actually when you eat garlic and then get married. All right.
What?
Clove of garlic.
Clove hitch.
Hitched.
I get you.
With that, we will wrap up the 2019 movie marathon for this week, and we are going to be moving into The Recast Continued.
Part 2.
The sequel.
Redux.
And the movie that we're going to be talking about is called Fat City, from 1972 as well. This one was directed by the great John Huston, and it's got a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. The synopsis is, two men working as professional boxers come to blows when their careers each begin to take opposite momentum. It stars Stacy Keach, who was 31 at the time, as Billy Tully. He's kind of an over-the-hill, they say, boxer, even though he was only 41, which I guess is a little bit past your prime for a professional boxer.
Actually, he was 31.
Oh, 31, excuse
yeah.
me, 31, yeah.
Which I thought was kind of strange that he was already over the hill,
right.
But he had let himself go.
Then we also have the young buck, Ernie Munger, played by Jeff Bridges. He's the younger, promising boxer that inspires Billy Tully to try and make a comeback. And then we've got Susan Tyrell as Oma Lee Greer, a kind of obnoxious barfly. Yeah. She's got a man, but the man goes to prison and she starts hooking up with Stacy Keach's character. And then finally, we added this one late because I just think we have to. Nicholas Colasanto, who you would know from Raging Bull and Alfred Hitchcock's Family Plot, but most people know him as Coach on the TV sitcom Cheers, at least the first couple seasons, before he passed away and they introduced Woody Harrelson's character, Woody, as kind of the replacement character, playing Ruben, who's the boxing manager, somewhat shady boxing manager.
Yeah.
All right. So what else do we need to say about the premise of the film?
If you like alcoholics.
Yeah.
This is your movie.
Yeah. Okay. So recasting Billy Tully. He was played by Stacy Keach, who was 31 at the time. Who have you got?
I went with someone who is 32.
Okay.
32. He was in Insurgent. He was in the Fantastic Four.
Which one?
The first one. One okay. of them. He was in the boxing film Bleed for This.
Oh, nice.
And he was in the film Whiplash. It's Miles Teller.
Oh, Miles Teller is good. I like him a lot. That movie, Bleed for This, is not a good movie, though.
I know.
But yeah, he's a fantastic young actor. We've definitely chopped
him
before.
He's not that young anymore. 32. He's in his prime now.
Wow. Okay. Well, I went with a little bit older actor, somebody who's a little bit more believable as an over-the-hill kind of washed-up boxer. The first thing I remember seeing him in is Garden State. He's also in the movie Kinsey.
Okay.
And he's in Jarhead. And he's also married to Maggie Gyllenhaal. His name is Peter Sarsgaard. Peter Sarsgaard.
Love Peter Sarsgaard.
Yeah, he's a good actor. Not to be confused with the Sarsgaard family of actors, but yeah, I think he would be really good in this. He kind of has a Mickey Rourke quality.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we've got the role of Ernie Munger, played by Jeff Bridges, the great Jeff Bridges. Of course, he's in Nadine. He's in The Fabulous Baker Boys. And, of course, The Big Lebowski, man. And he was 23, a very young Jeff Bridges.
And he even looked younger than 23.
Yeah, he was super young. Who is going to be your Ernie Munger, Sean?
All right, I'm going with somebody who will be 22 towards the end of this year. He was in Patriot's Day. He was in Harebrained early on in his career.
Okay.
It's a Brendan Fraser film. He was in Coming Through the Rye. We know him from Hereditary.
Oh, yeah.
This is the second time I've recast him,
mm-hmm.
but mostly because he's a dead ringer
for
one Raging Bull.
Yes.
Alex Wolff.
Yeah, he's good, man. I just saw him in something else recently.
He's got a ton of stuff in post-production right now. He's going to have about 3 or 4 movies drop this year.
Very nice.
So watch out for this guy. He's so good.
What was that? Was it the Roger Corman episode where we were recasting Robert De Niro?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so my actor is 27 now, also a little bit older. I've definitely chopped him before. He's in Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl. He's in the Stanford Prison Experiment. And he's also going to be playing Jim Deere in the upcoming remake of Lady and the Tramp. His name is Thomas Mann.
Thomas Mann.
Thomas Mann. He was also in Project X.
Yeah, okay.
He's another one of those young, talented actors. All right, next up, we've got Oma. Oma Lee Greer, played by Susan Tyrell. Susan Tyrell has a very interesting face, which is probably why she was cast in the John Waters film Crybaby.
Very much so. And I'm wondering who you're recasting because you went older.
Uh-huh.
And if you didn't recast her, I will give you your perfect recast.
I have my perfect recast. So Susan Tyrell, Oma Lee Greer, she was 27, Crybaby, Forbidden Zone, and a movie called Bad. Who's going to be your recast?
All right, so my recast, she is 30 years old this year. Mm-hmm. She's an Irish actor, but she can do some accents.
Does she have red hair?
She does.
Look out.
She does. She was in The Tempest in 2014. She was in Wild Rose 2018. She was in... she's currently can be seen in Chernobyl on HBO.
Okay.
And I highly, recommend this show. She plays Ludmila Ignatenko. She is the widow of one of the first responders who died, and she has the baby. And I'm not going to give anything away about the show.
I haven't seen it yet.
She's great. But the reason I'm picking her for this cast is that she was Lorna Beau in the FX TV series Taboo.
Oh, okay.
Starring Tom Hardy.
Yep.
Who also played a bare-knuckle brawler, Bronson.
In Bronson, yes.
So, yes, Jesse Buckley is her name.
Jesse Buckley. Okay.
And just the sheer fact, if you watch Chernobyl and you've seen Taboo or watched Taboo, she's quite a chameleon. She can play pretty much anything.
Very nice. All right, so Susan Tyrell, as I mentioned, was 27 at the time. And like you were saying, I'm going older with my recast. So my actress is 41 now. She knows how to take dictation in the movie Secretary. She's also in The Dark Knight and Donnie Darko. Very dark movies. She's also in the Netflix, I believe, miniseries The Deuce. And she's married to Peter Sarsgaard. Her name is Maggie Gyllenhaal. Maggie Gyllenhaal is going to be my Oma.
I was going to suggest... and of course I can't get it now because I don't have a signal. I looked at her and I can't remember her name. She is in Russian Doll on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
She was in American Pie. She was in Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, she would be good.
She'd be great in that role.
Oh, man, what is her name? We'll get on that.
Dana.
Dana. Okay, next up, we've got the final role that we're going to recast today. And this is the role of Ruben, who was played by Nicholas Colasanto, who was in Raging Bull. He was in Family Plot and Coach on Cheers. And he was 48 at the time when he played Ruben. What do you think?
My actor is 52.
Mm-hmm.
He was on Red Shoe Diaries way back in the day.
With David Duchovny?
No. No.
That's a David Duchovny show.
He was in the Charlie's Angels reboots.
The Red Shoe Diaries is a David Duchovny show.
I know, but
I
acknowledge that, but it's not David Duchovny.
Okay. I said with David Duchovny.
Oh, I thought you were guessing David
Duchovny. Is it David Duchovny?
He was in the little-known TV show called Friends.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he can currently be seen opposite Stacey Keach in the TV show Man with a Plan.
Oh.
Matt LeBlanc.
Matt LeBlanc. Is that show ongoing?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That's Stacey Keach's current role.
Gotcha. Well, glad he's still working. Such a great actor, such a diverse actor. At the age of 78 now, is that right?
Yeah, Keach is a powerhouse, man. Yeah.
All right, so my actor... Here we go. He's 64 now, so he's getting up there. He was on Star Trek The Next Generation, Joey. He was in The Last of the Mohicans, one of my favorite films of all time. He was also in Far and Away with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, and he plays a Boston ward boss and a boxing manager. His name is Colm Meaney. Colm Meaney, Sean.
Colm Meaney. Oh, he was on Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
No, Next Generation. Maybe both.
But he was also on Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. I'm with you now. By the way, the actress that I was referencing was Natasha Lyonne.
Yes. I think I usually mispronounce it as Lyonne.
Is it?
Yeah. That's how I mispronounce it.
It might be. I don't know.
All right. So what else do we need to say about the movie?
I didn't find it to be a 100% film.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. It's one you should see. It's a recommend.
A mild recommend.
Mild recommend. It's a downer.
It is. Yeah. Well, both of these movies are kind of downers in different ways.
This is a downer. You know, the early 70s, there were a lot of downer films, mm-hmm. and this is definitely one of
kind
them.
Kind of the hangover from the 60s.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. All right, well, that will wrap us up on the recast continued, And we're moving it into our final segment, which is going to be a bonus segment. And this week, it's going to be a battle royale. This is where we pit at least three people together who are going to hypothetically have a fight to the death where only one can survive. And this week, it's going to be a fight to the death, of course, between Stacey Keach, Stacey Dash, and Stacey Peralta. And so Stacey Dash, before her more recent controversy, was best known as the best friend in the movie Clueless. And Stacey Peralta was a skateboarder and business owner and is now a filmmaker. He was one of the Z-Boys in the documentary Dogtown and Z-Boys, and also the biopic version.
Yeah.
Lords of Dogtown.
Yeah, and Powell Peralta was the name of their company.
Their company, yes. All right, so you get to go first.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I would like to throw an outlier into this battle royale. Stacey Keibler.
Who's Stacey Keibler?
Former WWE wrestler turned actress.
Oh, it's a girl.
Yes.
Okay.
Stacey Keibler.
And is she an elf?
No.
Does she make cookies?
She has super long legs.
Does she live in a tree?
She has super long legs.
Okay.
And she's going to put them all in a scissor lock headlock and just choke them out to submission. I would have to go with Stacey Peralta.
Okay. He's gonna ollie over.
He's gonna ollie over. He's gonna do a grind on Stacey Dash's new wave neocon face.
Yes.
And just rub her out of existence. I think Keach will, in his prime, is gonna give him a run for his money. Probably do some mustache beating.
Yes. Yeah.
But I think Stacey Peralta's got the agility.
Yes.
To make this work.
I hear you. So I'm going with Stacey Keach. I think that he's shown that he has longevity, and you can't have that kind of longevity without having a lot of core toughness.
Yeah.
And also, we've seen that he's such a diverse actor, he could, become a chameleon, and they wouldn't even know where he was.
I got you. Yeah. I'm with you.
So I'm going Stacey Keach on this one, and also, happy birthday coming up for Stacey Keach.
Absolutely.
All right. How are we going to keech these keeds? All right. We want to plug the podcast itself. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us on. We're also hosted natively online. It's Cinema Chop Shop on podbean.com. We are on Twitter. You can tweet at us at Seminar Chop Shop. It's at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. We're Cinema Chop Shop on Facebook, and our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. Also, the beers that we checked in today, or the beer that we checked in, will be checked in on Untappd, UNTAPPD. It's like a social network for beer, and our profile on there is also Cinema Chop Shop. I want to thank the engineer, Lil Thanos.
Thank you.
Traveling executioner. What do you got to plug?
We will plug... Right Answers with Wrong Travis. But before we do, I do want to make, for those locals who can make it to Seminar Brewing, in the month of June, there will be a weekly, they tell me, weekly new beer release.
Oh, wow.
This isn't the randomized beer that we do every week.
Right.
I'm told it's a new beer release. So I'm curious and skeptical at the same time.
Okay. All right. And
but yes, we do need to plug... Right Answers with Wrong Travis.
Right Answers with Wrong Travis. Are you confusing trivia with the podcast?
I think that we're about to reach kind of this this convergence of the two, and I think Seminar Chop Shop is inevitable.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it on a recording sometime. So what's next week's episode, Sean, of the podcast?
Next week are the films of...
Teen Wolf?
Is it?
Family Ties?
Is it? Already?
Next week's episode in celebration of his...
See, I was thinking that there was another one before that, but you're right. No? This is the season finale, the films of Michael J. Fox.
This is going to be our season 4 finale in honor of his upcoming 58th birthday, the films of the great Michael J. Fox. And as we've been doing lately, I'm going to give a sneak preview of a second half question from trivia. And this is a Michael J. Fox question.
Okay.
Here it is. Michael J. Fox was not the first choice to play Alex P. Keaton on Family Ties. He was only chosen after another actor, who was originally considered for the role, refused to have a long-term television obligation. Who was that other actor?
Wow. Eric Stoltz.
No, that's good, because he was originally supposed to play Marty McFly in Back to the Future. Have you ever seen those...
I've seen screen tests. Yeah.
They're so funny. So think about the time period, 1982.
82?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Somebody who's at the top of their game, the height of their powers in 82. Who would be more interested in doing movies than a TV show?
Anybody from The Outsiders.
Okay. In fact, we mentioned one of his movies earlier. It was Matthew Broderick.
Okay.
Matthew Broderick was supposed to play...
That's funny because Michael J. Fox was supposed to be in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Interesting. I almost feel like Matthew Broderick would have pulled off the conservative Republican capitalist character a little bit better than Michael J. Fox. But that show was so good anyway. I loved it.
I watched an episode of that the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a staple of my childhood.
It's great. Boy, Justine Bateman was beautiful.
Yeah, she was.
I'm sure she still is, but...
Did you remember when she was on Lois and Clark, and her name was Myrtle Beach?
That's really funny. Hey, true story about Family Ties.
Uh-huh.
You know, Justine Bateman's love interest in the show, Nick?
Yeah.
Hey. Scott Valentine? I met him.
You've met him in real life?
As a kid. He was my first celebrity I got to meet.
Nice. Was he wearing a leather jacket?
No, he was a super cool guy. It was very nice. And yes, if you asked him, he would go, hey.
And he was super cool on the show, too. He was an artist, wasn't he?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, like a junk artist or something. Yeah.
All right. So that is your sneak preview question and answer for Right Answers with Wrong Travis this coming week, this coming Wednesday. Make sure you check that out and come out and play some trivia. And finally, we just want to say farewell. Thank you to the listeners for finding us on that dial.
We would like to thank Keech and every one of you.
Keech and every one of you. And also, please remember to
watch, chop, retrofit,
and tip your Keeches.